Hey, this is Travis Bennett, the pastor here at Arena of Life Church, and I just want to welcome you to our podcast. I pray this builds your faith, encourages you, and brings you to newer levels in Christ. Enjoy the message.
But I am fired up about this word today, and I'm just going to go ahead and tell you this. If I get excited and I yell a little bit, I'm not mad. John, I'm not mad. I'm just excited about the Word of God. Amen? It says in verse 1, this is the experience of the captivity. By the rivers of Babylon, there we captives sat down and wept when we remembered Zion, the city God imprinted on our hearts. On the willow trees in the midst of Babylon, we hung our harps. John, can you make a promise to me that you'll never hang up your harp? Never hang it up. Doesn't he play a beautiful piano? Yeah. Pastor Shannon, will you make a deal with me? Never hang up your harp. Because when you hang up the harp, that means you don't need it anymore. But can I tell you, in 2021, we need the harp more than we need anything else. It says, for there they who took us captive, demanded of us a song with words, and our tormentors who made a mockery of us demanded amusement, saying, sing us one of those songs of Zion. How can we sing the Lord's song in a strange and foreign land? If I forget you, O Jerusalem, let my right hand forget her skill with the harp. Let my tongue cling to the roof of my mouth. If I do not remember you, if I do not prefer Jerusalem above my chief joy. God, we thank you for your word, that it's a lamp unto our feet, that it's a light unto our path. God, I pray that today that there is revelation in the room, that you're opening eyes to see and ears to hear. And if they came in with fear inside of their hearts, God, do a miracle, do a miracle, do a miracle, do a miracle, do a miracle. Set them free, God, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Well, before you're seated, look at your neighbor and say, you need this message. All right. Look at your other neighbor and say, I'm so sorry, you were my second choice. All right. Amen. 2 Timothy 1:7 tells us this, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, hey, Randy, and of love and of a sound mind. How many of y'all believe in 2021, it is possible to live in a state of no fear in your life? How many of y'all believe that? Come on, from your heart this morning. 9 o'clock, you're my favorite service. You're for some reason, you're more awake than the 10:30. 10:30 is like a bunch of zombies in here, and I don't get it because they got to sleep in. But 9 o'clock, I need you to speak to me this morning, all right? Because I am alive, and I am wired up. I've had coffee, and let's go. Y'all ready? Buckle up. 2 Timothy 1:7, God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. God did not give you fear. It comes from an enemy. His name is Satan. He is the devil, Diablos. He is the penetrator. He penetrates inside of your mind and inside of your heart. He will make you believe a lie that at one time 5 years ago, you didn't believe it, but over time he penetrates and will make you believe a lie. The enemy is a lie. Can I get an amen out there? But he gives us three ingredients to combat fear in our life. You don't have to live in fear. No fear, no fear. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. When we fear God, we don't have to live in the fear of this world. But he gives us three things. He gives us power, he gives us love, and he gives us a sound mind. The first one we talked about, there is power in the blood of Jesus. We just celebrated that with communion. How many of y'all thankful for the power of the blood? From the Genesis all the way to the book of Revelation, he poured out his blood for you and me. He painted a picture in the Old Testament that blood had to be spilled, that the innocent had to die for the guilty. And he sent his only begotten son to this world for us, for you and me, the only son that he had, the precious Lamb of God. Aren't you thankful that his blood was spilled for you and me? We also see this, there is power in the name of Jesus. You don't have to be fearful when you have the name that's above all names, that at his name every knee must bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Come on. He's Jehovah Rohi. He's our shepherd. He's Jehovah Sitkenu. He's our righteousness. He's Jehovah Shalom. He's the God of peace. He's Jehovah Jireh. He is our provider. Come on. Jehovah Rapha. He's the God who heals. He hits every description and everything that the devil tries to hit you with. I'm telling you, it's his name that you should call upon. Amen. The Bible says in Acts, he who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You need saved in a situation, call upon the name of the Lord. Don't call mama. Don't call daddy. They're probably gone anyway. You need to call on the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen. Also, too, what combats fear is the power of the written word. I'm telling you, when I'm weak, he makes me strong. With something about he who says unto this mountain, be thou removed and be cast in the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes what he says, it shall be done for him. Fear does the same thing as well. When you speak fear, live fear, surround yourself with fear, you will be in fear. But when you surround yourself in faith and speak in faith, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Thank God for the written word of God. Come on, I'm going to say it again. Thank God for the written word of God. When we're weak, he makes us strong. When we're poor, he makes us rich. Thank God for scriptures that helps us stand on and stories. Hebrews 11 is full of all the patriarchs of faith, and he starts it out, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. And I'm telling you, the word says in 1 Corinthians, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing what? The word of God. And faith will combat fear any day of the week, any Monday, any Tuesday, any Wednesday. Faith needs to be big in you rather than fear. Amen? But this morning, I want to talk to you about power in the presence of God. You know, can I tell you as a testimony, there's many times in my life where I have felt down, where I just told Alexa, hey, put on I Thank God. You get that, you know that song? Hell lost another one, I am free. See, sometimes I just need to get in the presence of God. All throughout Scripture, it's the people that were warriors in life were the ones who knew how to get in the presence of God. The Bible says that he inhabits the praises of his people. From the beginning of the Bible to the end of the book of Revelation, worship was a huge part. Praise was a huge part of God's plan for his people. I want to read to you a quote by A.W. Tozer, and it says, I can safely say, on the authority of all that is revealed in the Word of God, that any man or woman on this earth who is bored and turned off by worship is not ready for heaven. Can I tell you, in heaven, we're going to continually worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. If you don't know how to do it here, you ain't ready to be in heaven. I'm telling you, you might as well get ready for it right now. You might as well take down the pride, get rid of whatever kind of macho man you think you are, and dance like David danced. Come on, who am I talking to today? Because what we're doing is we're saying, this may be big in our life, but God, you're bigger. I'm going to praise you in the storm. If I'm sick, I'm going to praise you. If I'm bankrupt, I'm going to praise you. If divorce papers are on the table, I'm going to praise you. Because when I'm weak, God, you make me strong. Come on, who am I talking to today? It's an appropriate statement of what he said right there. Think about it. When Jesus was born in Luke chapter 2, am I talking too fast? Y'all need to listen faster. When Jesus was born, he said, and suddenly... This is when the Son of God hit the earth, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. You know what we need in the earth today? Peace and goodwill toward men. We don't need division. You know what division brings? It brings fear. You know what backbiting does? It brings fear. It's a spirit of fear. But there's something in the text that we see. When you bring glory to God, it combats fear. We got to bring glory to God, John. Albert Barnes said this, praise is one of the great duties of the redeemed, for it will be their employment forever. Come on. Employment forever. Karl Barth said this, and I love this. Worship is the most momentous, the most urgent, the most glorious action that can take place in a human life. That's because it gets us ready for what's to come. I'm telling you, I'm going to praise him in the city. I'm going to praise him in the mountains. I'm going to praise him in the living room, in the shower. Come on. The Bible says everything that has breath, praise the Lord. Listen to Psalm 150 here. It says, praise the Lord. Everybody just say it, praise the Lord. It says, praise the Lord. Praise God in the sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heavens. Where does he say to do it? In the sanctuary. Can I remind you of this in 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 19? He says, what? Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? Come on. In the sanctuary is right here. That's driving down the road. That's ministering to your kids with the paddle. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. Woo! Come on. I'm preaching to somebody on the front row. That's praising God at work. Praising God on Facebook. Let's go. Amen. That struck a nerve somewhere. Praise God inside of here. Everything that has breath, praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Where do we do it? Praise him in his mighty heavens. So not only are you going to do it here, but you're going to do it when you get there. Praise him for his mighty acts. Come on, if God's done one good thing in your life, you ought to praise him. If he's healed your body, if he's given you a beautiful baby boy, come on, Pastor Shannon. Come on, if he's given you children, if he's given you a business, if he's given you one more day on this COVID-infested earth, you ought to praise the Lord. Amen. Praise him according to his greatness. God is great and he's worthy to be praised. Praise him with the trumpet sound. Praise him with the harp and lyre. Praise him in the tambourines and dancing. Praise him with the stringed instruments and the flutes. This is how you do it. Praise him with the resounding cymbals. Praise him with the loud heavens or loud cymbals. Well, Pastor, I don't know how to play anything. All I know how to do is play Alexa or play the radio. Sometimes I mess that up. But listen to this, your instrument's right here. Let everything that has breath and every breath of life praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Everything that has breath. If you're breathing today, you ought to be praising him. I remember a song when I was little, praise him in the morning, praise him in the evening, praise him when the sun goes down. I don't remember the rest of the words. But I'm thankful for my raising of that, of I'm going to praise him. I love that song. I'm going to praise him in the storm. In Psalm 16:11, it says in New King James, it says, you will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. How many of y'all need to know the path of life? You know, the biggest question as a pastor as I get is this. What is the will of God for my life? What is the will of God for my life? You know what I've learned in my life? The will of God is just doing what God's called me to do. Being where God's called me to be, being submitted to his word, being submitted to his call, being submitted to the church. You know what? I mean, every time pastor came in and says, hey, I need you to be youth pastor. I don't like youth. I want to stab him in the eyeball with a fork. But as I was submitted and as I was obedient, God put me in a new place at a new time for such a time as this. Then he asked me to lead worship. I didn't know how to lead worship. I knew how to play the bass, a little bit of guitar. I had to train myself. I was submitted to the call, and as I began to do that, the Lord began to, I look back on my life. As I was submitted, he showed me the path of life, but you know how I did it? I got in his presence. Can I tell you, many times of revelation in my life, in fact, today, I'm going to share some revelation with you I've never seen before, but revelation in my life is I just got in the presence of God. I'm telling you, if you're lonely, loneliness will bring fear in your life. Dr. Charlie was telling, he's not here, he'll be here in the second service. He was telling me that the enemy just began to attack him one night when he was in his apartment all by himself and he felt lonely. He said, you know what I did? I just began to lift my hands and just begin to praise the Lord. Praise God, you're so good. I love you. Your mercy endures forever. You're a good God. You're faithful unto the end. I thank you that you're my healer, you're my provider, you're my strong tower, my refuge in time of need. Come on, that's praise. That's praise. That's adoration to the Lord. He said it was amazing how the Lord filled the room, and I didn't feel. How many of you know he never leaves you and he never forsakes you? And that spirit of fear, of rejection, fear of being alone, he said it just began to leave the room. Listen to what Psalm 16:11 says in the Passion Translation. For you bring me a continual revelation of resurrection life. You know what happens when we get in the presence of God? He will give you a continual revelation of resurrection life. In his presence is fullness of joy. If you came in mad today, I'm telling you, there is resurrection life in the room, and you can leave with joy. No matter what she said before church, or he said, or that goofy kid said. Amen? I want to give you some examples today, and it's already 9:45. I want to give you some examples in Scripture of how praise works in your life. When I talked about Battleborn in the beginning of the year, talking from 1 Samuel 16 and 17, you know the story of the son of Jesse. His name was David. They were looking for a new king. Saul had messed up. The Bible tells us in 1 Samuel 16 that he was out tending to his father's sheep. And as he is out in the battlefield, he says, he calls for him. In fact, they have a description of him. Not only was he ruddy and the youngest, but it says he was a skillful musician. He was a skillful musician first, but then it begins to talk about how he was a warrior. A skillful musician. He was a brave and competent man, a warrior, discerning in speech, and a handsome man, and the Lord was with him. I'm telling you, when there is praise on your lips, there is warrior in your heart. When there is praise on your lips, there is warrior in your heart. See, what they saw about him first, he was a praiser. In fact, when he goes to Goliath, and everybody is afraid of the big, bad wolf, Goliath, 9 foot 9 inches tall, 10 foot tall and bulletproof. And he shows up on the scene and everybody is afraid. As he begins to speak to them, the Bible says when they heard what he had to say, the Bible says in verse 11, when Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistines, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. You know what people in 2021 and 2020, when they heard CNN, when they heard CNBC, when they heard ABC, easy as 1, 2, 3, come on. They began to be afraid. They heard the reports. They saw the percentages. They saw all those things. But David shows up on the scene. And David shows up and says, when I was in the wilderness tending to my father's flock, I was praising the Lord. I had a harp in my hand. I had a guitar in my hand. And when the lion came, God was with me. When the bear came, God was with me. And I don't care if he's 9 foot 9 inches tall. He's not bigger than the God that I serve. Come on. Amen. That's what happened. See, I told you I'd be shouting this morning because I'm excited. I don't care how big the bankruptcy is. I don't care how big the bad report from the doctor is. I don't care how big the relationship's been split up. I'm telling you, it's not bigger than the cross and the blood that Jesus did for you and me. I'm telling you. He showed up on the scene and said, if God be for me, then who in the world can be against me? I may be a boy. I may be a youth. You may be young in the Lord. Can I give you an example this morning? If you're going to be bigger than the world, you've got to have a bigger God on the inside of you. Listen, the enemy's going to be loud, but you've got to be louder. He's going to be big, but you've got to be bigger. I'm telling you, every knee must bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. He said, I came from the battlefield, and where we were, we praised the Lord. Here's another example. You know the story of Joseph. Joseph, he takes over the country of Egypt. And you know the story, Jerry Springer's story of how he gets there. And as he's there, the brothers find out, they know that there's a famine inside of Israel, so they go to Egypt, they see him. He remembers what they do, and he begins to torture them. He said, I know that you have more people because you've told me. He said, you have a younger brother. See, Joseph wanted to see his baby brother, the only other brother that he had with Jacob's wife, Rachel. He wanted to see him. He loved Benjamin. And so he says, you bring me back this youngest brother, Benjamin. You know the story? They go back. Jacob's like, there's no way. I love my son, Benjamin. So they bring Benjamin back to the camp. Finally, they have enough famine that they bring him back to the camp. And the Bible says that when they are there, I'm just going to go ahead and go there. It's in Genesis chapter 44. He says, all right, you can send this back. But remember, he tricks him. He puts in Benjamin's bag his cup because he wants Benjamin to stay with him. He says, send grain back. So he sends his people to stop him on the road, finds his cup, and so Benjamin has to come back. So all of them come back. Well, the one that betrayed him, Judah, goes along with the word Judas. Judas betrayed Jesus. Judas steps up, and Judas says, I can't go back and say that I didn't bring my dad's baby brother back. I can't do it. And see, this whole time, Joseph hadn't revealed himself to him. He hadn't told him that he's his brother, the one that they betrayed, threw in the pit, and sold to the gypsy. He hasn't revealed that to them. But as Judas steps up and says, no, I am not. I will stay here. Take me in the place of him. And it says in verse 33 of chapter 44 of Genesis, now therefore, Judas talking, please let your servant Judah remain here instead of the youth to be a slave to my Lord, and let the young man go home with his brothers. How can I go up to my father if the young man is not with me, for fear that I would see the tragedy that the world overtake my elderly father? He's afraid to do it. But listen, verse 45. Then Joseph could not control himself in front of all those who attended him, and he called out, have everyone leave me. So no man stood there when Joseph revealed himself to his brothers. My point is this morning. Lean in. You know what gets the attention of the king? Judah. You know what Judah means? It means praise. Let it sink in. You know what'll get the attention of the king? You know what will bring revelation into your life? You know what'll open doors where there hadn't been doors shut for a long time? You know what will bring favor into your life? And you know what will get the attention of the king? Judah will. Praise will. Praise. When you begin to praise the Lord, it opens the eyes and the attention of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. When you begin to praise with your mouth, it opens the attention of Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals. Come on, when you begin to praise, even in the midst of everything being taken from you and you're fearful in a place that there's no way I can go back to that, you just begin to lift your voice and praise God for what you already have. Are you getting that this morning? It gets the attention of the King. Look what happened in Acts chapter 16 when Paul and Silas, let's just go, I had another example, but I won't share it with you. Obviously, Joshua chapter 6, when they crossed the Jordan River, what did they do it with? They did it with the presence of God. And they got to Jericho, and what did they do to get the walls come tumbling down? They praised, they blew their trumpet, they worshiped, even though the walls were still up. What brought the walls down? Praise. Come on, who's getting something out of the word this morning? Now we see in Acts chapter 16, Paul and Silas, they were in prison. They messed some things up for them, but the Bible says this. In verse 23, after striking them many times, they threw them in a prison, commanding the jailer to guard them securely. He, having received such a command, threw them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. But about midnight, when Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns of praise to God, and the prisoners were listening to them, suddenly there was an earthquake, so powerful that the very foundations of the prison were shaken at once, and all the doors were open, and everyone's chains were unfastened. Listen, I mean, think about that. They're bruised, they're battered, they're tied up, they're in a prison. This is a great moment to sing, gloom, despair, and agony on me. Deep, dark depression, excessive misery. I know Pastor Buzz knows the song. He can come help me sing it. Listen, but instead, they begin to not think of where they are, but they begin to think of who he is. Come on, just because your geographical state doesn't change the genealogy on the inside of you. Just because where we are in the world today doesn't change that he's still on the throne. It doesn't change that he can still be in control of your life. 1,000 may fall, 10,000 at my right hand, but nothing come near my dwelling place, says in Psalm 91. So as they're sitting there, they just begin to look at each other. Hell lost another one. I am free. I am free. I am free. Hell lost another one. Now, everybody in the prison, it said everybody heard. Come on, can I tell you this? Everybody hears it when you're praising him in the middle of the storm. You know what gets the attention of the lost? When you still have the joy of the Lord and it's your strength in the midst of everybody being mad and crazy. Come on, somebody. And you know what brings joy? In His presence is fullness of joy. And they begin to sing and they begin to praise, even in the midst of everything, and it looked like nothing was going right. And they had hit a brick wall and there's no way they're getting out. And the Lord caused an earthquake. How many of y'all remember when the earthquake hit Amarillo a couple years ago? I remember the house we were living in. I thought somebody hit the house. And I walked outside, but I wasn't the only one who walked outside. All my neighbors across the street and everybody was looking down. We're all looking at each other like, what in the world was that? Can I tell you, it gets the attention of the neighbors. When you begin to praise the Lord, I'm telling you, it will shake the very foundation of where the world will say there's no reason for you to be happy. Come on, I'm happy. I am happy. 'Cause I'm happy. I told you, I did take a Ritalin. I don't know if it's working this morning. But I'm telling you, I'm happy. I'm happy. Even in the midst of our politicians have gone mad and crazy and need to be in a nursing home somewhere, I'm still going to praise the Lord. Come on. I'm still going to praise the Lord. When you may be out there and your kid is wandering. He's out there in the world. Come on, you know what'll bring that kid back even in the midst of a storm? Praising the Lord. You might be in a relationship that's broken. Come on, it will cause fear to go out the door. Because what we're doing, we're making God bigger than our situation. John, you can go ahead and come and play. I might sing something. Just be ready. So now we find ourselves back in Psalm 137. By the rivers of Babylon, there we captives sat down and wept. Can I tell you this? When praise is on your lips, it'll help you to continually to stand. Here they are, they're in captivity. We just came from a story where they were in captivity, but they stood and they praised the Lord. Here's those others, they're in Babylon, they're in captivity. And they sat down. Can I tell you, as believers, you know the last thing we need to do right now is sit down. We need to stand up. Stand for the truth. Stand for righteousness. Stand for what is right. Amen. We live in a world full of evil. We need to be the good that the people see. They sat down. And when you sit down, you'll begin to weep. Because the enemy defeats you first when you sit down, and then he'll remind you of where the state that you are. He will give you the facts of what surrounds you. When we remembered Zion, the city God imprinted on our hearts, on the willow trees in the midst of Babylon, we hung our harps. You know, God just put it on my heart, really, to think about this. You know what I see in churches today? You know what I see in America today? People have lost their praise. They've hung their harps. Well, it's over. Jesus is coming back. Well, if Jesus is coming back tomorrow, or if he's coming back in 50 years from now, you know what I'm going to do 50 years from now? I'm going to praise the Lord. Come on, stand to your feet this morning. You know what I'm going to do? If the whole world turns, you know, into the walking dead, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to praise the Lord. Come on, who's with me this morning? I'm going to praise the Lord. Come on, who's with me this morning? I'm going to praise the Lord. There may be some of you out there this morning that you've hung up your harp. At one time, you can look at your life and say, you know what? I was a worshiper. I was a praiser. I was somebody who was excited about the things of God. But you know what I've done because of things that have happened in my life and the hurt and offense and things that have happened to me? I put my harp in the willow tree. I'm here to tell you this morning, you know what, Travis Bennett, and that's for me and my house, you know what we're not going to do? We're not going to put our harps in the willow tree. We're not going to hang them up on the shelf to collect dust. I'm telling you, if there's anything I'm going to do right now is I'm going to praise the Lord. You know what will come against fear in your life is when you praise the Lord. Open your mouth. Lift your voice. It goes on to say, for there they who took us captive demanded of us a song with words, and our tormentors amusement saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. I'm going to say it again. I just said it a while ago. When Paul and Silas was in prison, it points out that all the other jailers were released because of their praise, right? in this text right here, the ones who had him captive saying this, we're in captivity too. Would you just sing us one of those songs? Can I tell you what the world is looking for you as a believer? You know what he's looking in you for? He's looking for one of those songs. What kind of song is inside of your heart? What kind of song is coming out of your mouth? Is it complaining? I'm telling you, I've done enough of it. I hate what's going on in the world today. And I'm not gonna make it bigger than my God. You know what praise does? Praise brings me back to a place. If he was there for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, he'll be there for me. If he was there for Jonah inside the well, he'll be there for me. If he was with David with the lion and the bear and Goliath, he will be there for me. Come on. If he was there for Joseph in the pit, if he was there for him inside the palace, if he was there for him inside the prison, he'll be there for me. Come on, I'm going to praise the Lord in the morning. I'm going to praise the Lord in the afternoon. I'm going to praise the Lord in the evening when the sun goes down. I'm going to praise him in the bad moments and the good moments. I'm going to praise him when I got a lot of money and when I ain't got no money at all. I'm going to praise him when I'm sick. I'm going to praise him when I'm feeling healthy. Come on, I'm telling you, you want fear to go, you've got to get praise inside your lips. Come on. Praise him. DJ, did you praise him when you didn't have anything? Now are you praising him when you got the business? Come on, we're going to praise him. We're going to praise him. Because you know what happened when you praise him when you didn't have anything? You know, I'm going to remind you of this. You know what praise is? Praise is for God. Praise is for God. It opens the eyes of the king. Get that in your heart this morning. It opens the eyes of the king. Look at him standing strong, even in the midst of adversity. Leaning on me. Oh, I see him. I see him. I'm opening doors. I'm going to go before him. Oh, I'm going to surround him. I'm going to be with him. I'm going to guide him. The Bible says weeping may come through the night, but joy comes in the morning. Amen. Might have been bad yesterday, but you get praise on your lips today and joy will come. Mike, I'm going to live in joy. Amen. Dutch, I'm going to live in joy. Travis, I'm going to live in joy. Donna, I'm going to live in joy. Who else is with me is going to praise the Lord this week? Amen. Let's live in joy. Let's live in joy. Your kids need to see you praise the Lord. Your family members need to see you praise the Lord. Your coworkers, your employees that you work with, they need to see you praise the Lord. And it ain't always going to be easy. There's times when you want to give a right hook and lash back. But I'm telling you, praise will ever be on my lips. God inhabits. You want to get the attention of the king? Let's praise the Lord. And if you're in here today, come on, let's just be honest. You've put your harp up in the tree. You've put your praise up in the tree. Come on, who is it today? You put it up in the tree. You put it up in the tree. Hey, listen. Listen. Today, October the 3rd, is that right? 2021. Let's make a decision. We're getting the harp down and we're going to be praisers. Amen? And praisers becomes fighters. Praisers become fighters. I'm ready to fight. Fight the good fight of faith. Lord, we come before you boldly this morning. Thank you for this time together. God, I pray that your people would learn the absolute desire to be praisers. Oh God, I pray that today that you're putting a new song in their heart, a new sound on side of their lips, that they would praise the Lord in the morning, in the afternoon, the sun goes down. If you're out there today and say, you know what, Pastor, I'm away from the Lord. I can honestly say praise hasn't been on my lips because I don't know Jesus. The Bible tells us, confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in our heart that he died on the cross, and on the third day he rose again. He come live on the inside of you. There's three things that you do. The book of Romans tells us sin has separated us from God. If there's sin in your life, you're going to have a hard time praising. If there's sin in your life, you're going to have a hard time getting in joy. So if you're out there today and you say, you know what, Pastor, that's me. There's sin in my life. I'm separated from the Lord. Maybe you're backslidden. Maybe you're just, you don't have a relationship with Jesus. Don't go one more day without doing that. If you're in here and you say that, there's three things you need to do. Admit that you're a sinner. Number two, believe that he died on the cross. He was buried, and on the third day, rose again. He'd come live on the inside of you. The third thing is this, confess him as your Lord. If that's you today, and you say, you know what, Pastor, I haven't prayed that prayer, but today I want to pray that prayer. Who is that? Just lift your hand. Is there anybody in the room? Is there anybody? Praise God. Praise God. I saw one hand. Let's pray together with this one that lifted his hand. Say, Lord Jesus, I admit that I'm a sinner, but today I believe that you died on the cross, you were buried, and on the third day, you rose again. Come live in my heart. Make me new. Set me free. I confess you as my Lord. From this day forward, I'll serve you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for joining us. We want to thank all of you who give to our ministries here at AOL Church. It's because of you that all of this is possible. You can give now by clicking the link below. And if you haven't already, subscribe and share this message. It helps us reach more people and share the gospel through you. Be sure to stay connected to us through our Church Center app, our website, arenaoflifechurch.org, and follow us on social media like Facebook and Instagram. May the Lord bless you and keep you. His face shine upon you, be gracious to you, and give you peace. Thanks again for listening. Go and make a difference today.